Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. Glory to you, O Lord. The parable of the tenants. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servant. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time. The tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "Oh, they will respect my son," he said. And when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Will he bring those wretches to be a wretched end? And will he rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time? Jesus said, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who produces fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken in pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." Then the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable. They knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, John. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that your love endures forever, and we ask you to touch our hearts and speak to us now. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning. Good to see you. A special welcome if you're visiting today. Thank you for joining us. We continue, as Dan has said, with our Psalm series, and today looking at Psalm 118, which has incredible history and significance. Traditionally, it's credited to King David and contains prophetic words of Jesus. Something which brings life to this psalm is it's part of the sequence, it's the last of the six Hallel psalms, 113 to 118. Hallel is a Jewish word for praise. It is a root to the Hebrew word hallelujah, with Yah being Jehovah. So it's a praise to God psalm. The psalm would have been recited or sung at major festivals, including Hanukkah and, of course, Passover, as expressions of gratitude for God's salvation and his miracles. So since 1000 BC, right up to today, the words are still being declared by those of Jewish faith. And on that special and eventful night when Jesus broke bread with the 12 in the upper room, this would have been the last hymn to be celebrated after Passover meal. Matthew 26, verse 30 affirms this. When they had sung a hymn, the last hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So these verses were sung by Jesus only hours before his betrayal. But first, a question about songs. Was there ever a song you knew, or you thought you knew, and then one day you realise the true meaning of its words? It can be embarrassing, can't it? Or even funny when you understand what a song actually means, especially if you've been singing it for years. Young children sing songs from memory, but often do not understand what they are singing. For us, this is a moment of realisation. Yes, it can be embarrassing, but also profound. And it's interesting how we can know something by heart, but not take it to heart. The Bible contains 150 psalms, and if we open our Bibles in the middle, we come straight to them. They were written by various people, including Moses, the sons of Korah, Asaph, and a major input from King David of 73 songs. This has been described as the musical part, the lyric sheet, or the hymn list of the Bible. And as you know, if we turn to the New Testament, the first books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Collectively, they are the Gospels, or the Jesus parts of the Bible. And in there we find Christmas, Easter story, Jesus' earthly life, his ministry. And there are 62 psalms mentioned in the New Testament, of which 35 are in the Gospels. These are two separate parts of the Bible, seemingly talking about different things. But if you listen closely, the music parts keep appearing in the Jesus parts. And as we have seen at critical moments in the life of Jesus, there are psalms, songs, suggestions of music. And every time that happens, it's as if Jesus is saying to the Jews and his followers, you know this song. You think you know this song. But let me show you what these songs are really about. A summary of Psalm 118 is God intervenes. It's a song of deliverance where God gets involved. And here are some examples. It starts with and ends with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Like me, you may need to hear those words this morning and be reminded that his thoughts, his inclination towards us are good and always have been, and that his love endures forever, not an historic expression which gives up when we fail him, but a love that persists forever. He is the source of love. He is love. And God intervenes with his goodness and love that never fails. Verse 8 and 9. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans and princes. God intervenes with power, a power greater than any earthly power. Verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense and has become my salvation. Verse 17. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. When God gets involved, he changes us, the life we live, and the story we tell. In verse 22-23, the author says, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Let's just pause there and look at this verse. When ancient stonemasons collected stones to build a significant building, they looked and considered each stone individually. One would be for the walls, one would be for a foundation, others for elsewhere. But there were those that were totally unsuitable, and they were just tossed to a reject pile. The most important stone in the whole building was the cornerstone. Modern buildings don't have them, really. They have those symbolic ones or those decorative ones that do not take any load bearing at all. Modern construction methods have changed with steel, concrete, piling methods for our foundations. But way back then, the old cornerstone was huge and it brought balance and strength and stability. In fact, the whole structure depended on this stone. Get it wrong and there will be problems. Get it right and the building will stand. And the verses are telling us that God is the cornerstone and he's vital. He's not the architectural appearance or the fancy pillars to adorn the frontage that matter, but it's the large stone which adds integrity to the build. And God is to be our chief cornerstone, the foundation we stand on, we live and build upon. But the message and the irony of this psalm is that God we needed, the God who's supposed to be the cornerstone of our life, is rejected. Why? How is that possible when God loves us with a love that never fails, when he is more powerful than the powers on earth, and he has the higher throne? And he is Emmanuel, God with us. But sadly, Jesus is unwanted and discarded by those he came to. What is this about? Well, Jesus' popularity certainly fluctuated over the 3 years of his ministry. Some liked him and some hated him. While many followed him, Jesus there for many times, there were some there who decided to give up on Jesus. See, Jesus was radical in his life and his teachings, and questioned the religious, the cultural norms of first century Judea. His message of the kingdom of God was not about political power, but it was, however, seen as a threat because it challenged both Rome and Jewish leadership. His ministry highlighted the need for a radical love, an inner holiness, and not external piety or outward compliance. It's all about the human heart. And he condemned the religious elite as hypocrites for prioritizing rigid rules over compassion. He also upset the religious leaders by engaging with the poor, the marginalized, the perceived sinners. Some Jews were expecting a warrior king, someone to overthrow the Roman occupation. Instead, they got a man who came into Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus also told us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecuted them. Matthew 5. But it wasn't what these hardcore zealots wanted to hear. Basically, many were blind and failed to understand who Jesus was and that of his mission. In Matthew 21:42, his popularity was down, but he doesn't change the message to become a popular person. He doesn't cater to the whims of the crowd. He just reminds them of something they already know. A song, Psalm 118. Have you never read? Well, of course they had. He goes on, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Jesus implies they know the song by heart, or they think they do. But who is the song talking about? Likewise, in Luke 20, verse 17, after giving a parable on the wicked tenants, Jesus receives some pushback from the people. And Jesus looks directly at them, and he questions their understanding of this rejected stone. Because they know the words well, but don't understand who it's talking about. Someone had taught them the psalm, but it took Jesus to teach them the meaning. God intervenes, God gets rejected. You know, God has a long history of helping and reaching out to humanity. The Bible is packed with stories of how God takes the initiative and intervenes. And Jesus is God's ultimate way of helping all of us. But to receive help, we have to want it. To want it from Jesus, whose name means Savior. And it's a powerful name because it breaks strongholds and brings life. After that incredible entry into Jerusalem, things change. There is that betrayal in the garden by Judas. Then at the trial where the crowds choose another and they condemn Jesus. At the cross, they mock him, they look up, shout at him. And even one of the crucified thieves sneer at him as he ministers salvation to us. Jesus was rejected by humanity. So what does that say about us? How can we discard the cornerstone as something we think we don't need, when actually it's what we need the most? Why reject the relationship we could have had and built upon our lives? But the music of the psalm is still playing. The song doesn't stop there, because God is way ahead of us. Jesus expected rejection, and God the Father knew that too. And he placed it into his salvation plan. And the stone that was rejected does not remain rejected. The ultimate message of Psalm 118 is that God is victorious and he becomes a victor for all of us. God intervenes. Thorn gets rejected, but God is victorious. You consider the cross from a human perspective. Whoever is on the cross has lost. Crucifixion, this capital punishment, kills and humiliates the chosen victim. Whether they're innocent or guilty, it's a place of shame, defeat and death, and a deterrent. You don't mess with Rome. On a human level, the cross reflects total failure. But remember verse 17, I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Such amazing and moving words he sang when betrayal was literally a few hours away. But God turns our total failure into total forgiveness. And Jesus dies on the cross for the sins of the world. What a reversal of our original rejection of God. And the crucifixion of Jesus ends in resurrected life. Jesus, who is our Savior, must also become our cornerstone. Not some accessory, but he is to be the level, our line, the rock, the reference point of our lives. The foundation we can lean upon, stand on, and build upon. Imagine Jesus singing this psalm on the night before he was arrested. Save us, verse 25. In Hebrew, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 10, 26. That's what they cried, isn't it? When Jesus came into Jerusalem, our Palm Sunday, prophetically, it's here in these verses, but recorded centuries before. And again, this is the day the Lord has made. We know it well, and we can apply it to each of our lives, each wonderful day that God gives to us. And shortly the choir will be singing that. You can join in and celebrate. But the context here is that this is the day when the rejected stone became the chief cornerstone and salvation to the people. It's a day when everything was reversed from death to life, defeat to victory, and from fear to hope. God intervenes, God wins. This is the story of the cross, and it's our story too. And as I finish, perhaps one of the saddest and yet gracious verses in the Bible is in John's Gospel, chapter 1. He came to his own people, but his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of blood, nor of human decision, the flesh, nor of a man, but born of God. What an offer. God gives us life and himself through his son, Jesus. And if you don't know him today, I encourage you to accept him and the plans he has for your life. Amen.